And now, back to Brainstorming with Billy.
The Living Brain.
Now, here's your host, Billy the Brain.
Welcome back, everybody. This is Bill Frank. You're listening to Brainstorming with Billy the Brain. We're on every day, Monday through Friday, here on KKZZ, Positive Talk Radio for Ventura County. Every show has a theme, and today's theme is rising to the top and giving back. My first guest revealed the unwritten rules of rising to the top in a company and getting into that nice, cushy corner office. My second guest discussed Bags and Bling, the fundraiser luncheon hosted by Big Brothers and Big Sisters of Ventura County to honor Kathy Ireland. And my next guests produce an award-winning food product called Tempeh. We're going to learn what Tempeh is and what makes it rise above other protein products and why it's so good for us. If you're interested, you want to join in the conversation, you can always call us at 639-0008. Betsy Shipley and Gunter Pfaff created a foundation to help disseminate information that they've accumulated over the years for making a consumer-friendly tempeh. They received two patents for making tempeh on stainless steel trays using a water bath method for heating and cooling when they were producing Betsy's tempeh commercially. Their tempeh was a great success with both retail customers and with restaurants and institutions. In 2008, Betsy and Gunther conducted additional tests to produce their tempeh using a readily available food approved items. It's now possible to make both home and commercial tempeh using their technique. Welcome to the show. How are you both today?
We're doing fine.
And thank you very much for inviting us.
Oh, well, it's our pleasure. And let's start at the beginning, because before I met you, I was completely ignorant. What is tempeh?
It's a cultured soy food, and a lot of nutritionists say that's really the only way you should eat soy, because the other parts of soy food are really just derivatives that are sort of depleted ingredients, whereas from Indonesia, tempeh comes, it's an old food, it's hundreds of years old, and it's what they call fermented or cultured. In other words, it's pre-digested. It has an edible mold that goes into the soybeans, and it makes a nice white cake out of it, so you can easily make a patty, and it's has fiber, has... It's really good for your health-wise.
All right. Now, let me stop you right there, Gunter, because here we've got a lot of information in that answer that you just gave us. First of all, so tempeh is pre-digested, and it is edible mold. You're not selling this to the wider audience, are you?
Right.
Why would we want to eat edible mold?
Do you eat cheese?
I eat
cheese. Do you eat camembert cheese?
No, not
or
camembert.
Or brie cheese?
No, not even brie. I eat good old American cheese, but yes, I do eat cheese.
Yogurt?
Yes, I eat yogurt.
I mean, these are organisms that present things to your body that are sort of slightly more acceptable for your body, all these cultures, bacteria cultures or what they call edible mold cultures.
All right, so tempeh is from Indonesia. It's a soy-based product. Now, is that why, in general, Oriental cultures live longer than we do here in the United States and live healthier than we live in the United States?
Vegetarians live longer. Some cultures live longer because they eat less meat.
All right, so you're a proponent of eating less meat, eating more soy, and tempeh is the way to go. Now, how is tempeh made?
Well, basically, you take the soybean, and we've gotten the organic soybeans, and you soak them for a while, and then you cook them, and then you introduce the culture, and then you spread them on a tray, and you incubate it for 22 hours, and when the tray comes out, it is in the form of a cake, and then we bake it off to stop the culturing process. And then after you take it back out of the oven, you can cut it into different sizes and shapes. And when we made our tempeh in Michigan, we had patties and the leftovers that we put in to a grating machine and made grated tempeh. And when we did our in-store demos, people immediately knew what they were getting because we showed them how to use the patties and how to use the grated, and we also gave a little 6-page recipe book so people could take it home, and people loved it because it now they could serve something to their family that some were vegetarian, some were not, but you could make it into a chili or tacos, sloppy joes, tempeh ribs, whatever, and that's how we basically got off the ground.
All right, tempeh ribs. Now, I want to talk more about that a little bit later in the conversation, but what makes tempeh different and better than other protein sources like good old meat?
Well, tempeh has no cholesterol in it. It has no, it's organic, so it has no other chemicals in it that people and hormones that people use to produce meat nowadays. And it has fiber. Meat doesn't have fiber. And it has all kinds of beneficial effects because of the antioxidants that are in tempeh, in the soybean.
And so what sort of beneficial event? Am I going to get shinier skin, healthier nails? What sort of benefits, health benefits, would I achieve?
Well, there's a lot of literature out there. Some cancer prevention, there's lower cholesterol, there's a debate about whether you should, how much you should eat, you know.
You can overeat on tempeh?
And you could probably because it has, soybeans have some ingredients that you don't want to eat too much of. And,
okay.
And so you use it in moderation. Like if they have this Meatless Monday program nowadays, you could eat, start with once a week and, you know. But basically you could eat a patty every day. And benefit from it.
And benefit from eating tempeh.
Right.
All right. Well, we're talking to Gunter Pfaff and Betsy Shipley, everybody. We're talking about the benefits of tempeh. All of this begs the question, Betsy and Gunter, and that is, how did you get started with tempeh, and how did you get started making it commercially?
Well, back in 1970, I read Francis Moore LePage's Diet for a Small Planet, and that changed my whole outlook on how food was produced in the United States, and immediately became a vegetarian after that. 1977, I read an article in Organic Gardening and Farming about tempeh and that you could buy little tempeh kits from the farm in Tennessee. And so I went to my local East Lansing food co-op, got the little kit, which consisted of beans and the culture and the instructions for making tempeh at home, and gave it to Gunter for a birthday gift. And
aren't you thoughtful?
He set up a little incubator, a little old refrigerator with a light bulb for temperature control, and the first batch came out successfully, and we started eating it immediately all the time, and then started serving it to our friends, and the rest was history. And then Gunter can tell you what happened to him with it by losing his job.
Well, what happened? You lost your job and turned to tempeh?
Yes, because that was the depression of the 80s in Michigan, and I was laid off, and I was like almost 50 or just about 50, and there weren't any jobs to be had. So luckily, I was able to be a janitor and dishwasher for 3 years. We saved the money, and then we built a food processing building on the farm because I thought that the best security is to produce food because people want to eat. And I was right because by the time we ended up retiring, we couldn't keep up with production anymore.
All right, and I want to ask you about production and mass producing of tempeh, but before I do, a bigger question for the listening audience is, why is tempeh not more widely known and consumed here in the United States?
That's a hard one to answer. Tofu is the soy food that has really gone across the Pacific Ocean and made it big time into almost every cuisine in the United States, whereas tempeh has basically remained fairly isolated. And it sort of stayed in the closet for a long time. And I remember when we were in business in Michigan, I said, let's bring tempeh out of the closet. And so we did, and we had a lot of publicity about it. And slowly but surely, we built up a large customer base. And now when you go online and you type in tempeh, T-E-M-P-E-H, you will find tons and tons and tons of information on how to make it, what kind of recipes to use, and so that's basically all I can say. It just needs more publicity and more people talking about it.
So tofu had a better publicist than tempeh did. Gunter, you wanted to add something?
Yeah, the thing is, the two patents that we had actually relate to this problem, because when in the late 60s it was investigated by Northwestern University, for the first time in this country, they decided they couldn't make it on stainless steel trays. And so ever since like 1964, when people started making it, they made it in 8-ounce plastic bags. And it ends up being sort of a fairly poor product for technical reasons. And also people always told us when they, I've seen that in the refrigerator or in the freezer, I wouldn't know what to do with. And it's true that an 8-ounce hunk, you don't know what to do with.
You're
unless
right.
You're a real specialist.
You're right. It's not appealing at all.
And so by the time we came up with our system of making patties, people said, oh, yeah, sure. You know, I'll throw that on the grill. I'll barbecue it or whatever, you know.
All right. Well, now that brings us to your patents on the stainless steel production and really mass producing tempeh. So tell me, you're 50 years old. You're out of work. You turn to tempeh because everybody needs to eat. Very logical. I like that. How did you get into the mass production of it, though?
Well, mass has to be defined. I mean, the most I ever made was 75 pounds a day. So,
which is a lot of tempeh.
Yeah, right. But we were covering 90 miles around our area. And but at the end, what happened is it would be in like in a co-op or in a natural food store. And then the restaurants would discover it and they would contact us and say, hey, I tried all the tempeh, and yours is the best, and I want it. And then before we knew it, we had more and more customers. And then by the end, we looked around to say, who wants to take over? And we couldn't find anybody.
All right, Gunter Pfaff. Now, paint me a picture. Who is the typical tempeh customer on the retail level and then on the commercial level or on the industrial level?
On the retail level, the people that really go for it are young people. And people who have been told by the doctor they got to do something better than eating meat.
All right. So health impaired and young people are your primary retail customers.
Right.
And what
right.
about restaurants? You mentioned restaurants, schools, other
well,
institutions.
Well, they love it because it's so easy to work with. They actually make more money on a tempeh patty or tempeh burger than they do on a meat burger. People have told us that.
Well, I was going to get into the cost structure. So how much does tempeh cost per pound versus, you know, ground chuck? Per pound?
Well, it's organic, right? Most of the tempeh is, and it runs about $7.19 a pound.
$7.19 a pound compared to ground chuck, which in some cases is only $3.50 a pound.
Well, you pay for what you get, and you know, the health benefits of organic tempeh are far superior to your ground chuck.
All right, so you're saying there's a premium for going organic. You pay a premium in price for going organic. So then how could a restaurant or how could a school or some institution make money using tempeh when your ground chuck substitute is less expensive?
Because we're in a store once in Ann Arbor, and people said, oh, you ought to see this restaurant. They make a decent burger, a tempeh burger. And we said, well, we know it's ours. Let's see what they do. Well, they put it on the grill with a little Paul Newman's dressing, put it in a bun with lettuce and tomato and onion, and sold it for $6.50. And that was, you know, 20 years ago.
All right.
So they could definitely make money on that.
So there were margins to be made on
absolutely.
That.
Absolutely.
All right. All right. Yeah. Well, now, we're talking to Betsy Shipley and Gunter Pfaff. We're talking about tempeh. Coming on the air today, you'd mentioned that nobody wanted to buy your business in Ohio Michigan, before you moved out here. Michigan, that progressive state. You don't often think of Michigan leading the country in organic foods, but there you go. They lead in tempeh. So before you moved out here, nobody would buy the business. You're out here in California now. I'm presuming you're retired. So what is it that you hope to accomplish today by coming on the radio?
Well, we'd like to see if there are some people that would be interested in doing like a tempeh boosters group where we could sort of sit around and talk about what is the feasibility of starting a small business having tempeh as the goal. So we would sit down and we would, quote, brainstorm it around a kitchen table and draw up a business. They would draw up a business plan and whatnot, and we would sort of be looking over their shoulders like grandparents do with their grandkids. We're not directly involved, but we can sort of nudge you in the right direction and tell you some of the things that we think that you should be looking for. So we're basically looking for some interested people that want to produce a healthy food for the local community and using organic soybeans.
All right. Go ahead.
And I was just going to add that it looks to us that the best way to go is with very small, decentralized shops, like nothing, not a huge big tempeh factory, but lots of little shops in all the different places, which can be multiplied where the need arises to produce more.
All right, so you're looking really for mom-and-pop producers, produce for your own consumption mainly, and anything left over you might be able to sell to others.
Or just a small, three-person unit that runs a small shop and produces it for, the farmers markets and restaurants. Because it's an artisan food. It's handmade, essentially. And so you have to try to get your money out of it. It's not a machine food that a big factory cranks out.
All right. It has to be made in a commercial kitchen. It has to be a licensed kitchen before you're out on the market selling any kind of food.
It sounds like there are a lot of details, and somebody who's interested in making their own tempeh would need your expertise to guide them through that. So if they're interested in becoming part of your Tempeh Boosters group, how would they contact you in order to set something up?
Well, they could use our phone number.
And that is?
805-985-0356. And they can call us, and we can set up a meeting time. And if we got three or four people that would be interested in sitting down, sharing a meal, and beginning the process, that would be wonderful.
All right. And if they wanted to look on the web to learn a little bit more about it, where would you direct them to go on the web?
MakeTheBestTempeh.org. This is all one word.
And spell tempeh, because people might not know how to properly spell it.
T-E-M-P-E-H.
T-E-M-P-E-H, tempeh, makethebesttempeh.org
right.
is the website to go and learn more. Well, we've been talking to Betsy Shipley and Gunter Pfaff, everybody. Thank you so much for being my guest here on Brainstorming with Billy the Brain. We'll talk to you down the road.